Just imagine being in an innovator's shoes, where you get to construct your own world, enrich it with unique mechanics, characters, sounds. It's magic, isn't it?
It's captivating. One moment you are moulding a figment of your imagination, the next it's a whole universe inhabited by players around the globe.
Exactly, Chaelin. Independent game developers, or indie game developers as we'd like to call them, have the power to build distinct gaming experiences. But ever wondered how they manage to keep their creativity alive amidst all the programming and graphical work?
I guess it stems from a deep passion, a willingness to see their vision materialize, to go beyond the beaten path and look for the untrodden one.
Indeed, Christopher. They say creativity is being brave enough to descend into the depths of madness, rise above the abyss, and bring forth something captivating for the world. It must demand a lot of dedication and resilience.
What makes stories of indie game developers truly exciting is the creativity behind the objectification of their ideas into a tangible game universe. Take, for instance, the creators of Amanita Design, who translated their fascination for nature and strange creatures into the whimsically weird yet enchanting world of Machinarium and Samarost.
That's astounding, Christopher. It almost feels like peering into the secret corners of their mind, where creativity and madness brew something extraordinary.
Spot on, Robert. In fact, Braid, one of the best indie games, has a fascinating story of its own. The developer, Jonathan Blow, turned his personal experience of intimate relations into a puzzle platformer game centered around manipulating time.
So it's not just the aesthetics, but also the mechanics that are innovatively different in indie games.
Absolutely. Innovation in game mechanics is a defining attribute of indie games. Game mechanics, in essence, are rules or methods designed for interaction with the game world, and they shape the player's experience in profound ways.
I can't help but wonder, how does this innovation take place? What's the process like?
Experimentation, Chaelin. It's all about trying and testing different mechanics until they find the one working amazingly with their game concept. Take Death Stranding. They literally created a game mechanic centered around walking, which was never seen before. And they didn't stop there. They also explored the consequences of falling down a slope or losing balance. Sounds pretty basic, but it added a lot of in-game depth.
You know, I believe user feedback is instrumental in any creative endeavor, especially in game design. It's like the touchstone that checks our work against reality, helps us adjust our designs to sync better with users.
Chaelin, are you suggesting that user expectations should influence the creative process too?
Christopher, user feedback doesn't dictate how creators shape their vision, but it surely offers valuable insights into how well that vision is being received or understood.
Fascinating. Can you share an example where feedback greatly influenced the game design?
Sure, Robert. Consider Stardew Valley, the indie farming simulation game. After its initial release, the developer introduced multiplayer mode and numerous other features based on ongoing user feedback, all while staying true to the game's original vision. Impressively, these changes helped the game maintain freshness over time and significantly contributed to its long-term success.
So user feedback is something of a compass, guiding game developers while they carve out their unique paths in the wilderness of their creativity?
Exactly, Christopher. User feedback assists indie game developers in striking a dynamic balance between their unique creative aspirations and the game's playability.
Let's break down game mechanics, a truly fascinating world. I've always thought that gameplay is the essence of any game, the driving factor. But how can a designer actually create compelling game mechanics?
A giant question, Robert. I'd imagine the process is infused with creativity and innovation.
Exactly, Chaelin. And you know what? I've actually had a chat with an indie game developer who's achieved some pretty incredible feats in his games, kept his name anonymous, but he was gracious enough to share his knowledge.
That's intriguing. What insights did you two discuss, Robert?
Well, he started by explaining that the invention of game mechanics often springs from the core concept of the game. The mechanics should deliver that concept in a way that is engaging and challenging to the player. He then explained how user feedback comes into play. While the core concept might be set in stone, the mechanics are frequently adjusted based on feedback from players. They take note of what's working, what's not, and make necessary adjustments. It's amazing how dynamic the process is, really.
Quite a brilliant way to ensure the game is engaging. What about game mechanics do you personally like, Robert?
Oh, I love mechanics that challenge my skills as a player, yet are straightforward enough to not ruin the experience. I find joy in overcoming challenging situations in games, the ones that require strategy and skill. But if it gets too technical and overwhelming, it can take away the fun. In other words, the magic lies in elegantly crafted game mechanics that manage to engage the player without losing sight of the original intentions of the game.
Game mechanics, like Robert mentioned, are integral to a game's success. It's like choreography and composition in a dance performance. It's not just about the moves, but how they are stringed together that creates the magic. Think of Pong, for instance. It's not about complex mechanics. It's just two paddles and a ball. Yet it's addictive. It's about keeping it simple, but engaging.
So balance is key in designing game mechanics. But how exactly can a developer maintain that balance?
Great question, Christopher. Much like any form of art, it's not a clear-cut path. It involves trial and error, experimentation. Developers need to play, replay, tweak, and iterate. Then, factor in user feedback, all the while staying true to their creative vision. I can only imagine how the process can skew towards complexity, especially when developers are trying to bring a unique idea to life. But in my opinion, that complexity needs to be masked with simplicity on the player's end. That's where the real artistry lies.
So, Chaelin, you believe there's an art behind successfully implementing game mechanics that are complex yet seemingly simple for player interaction?
Absolutely, Robert. It's not about being complex or simple, but finding that sweet spot where depth and accessibility meet to form a captivating yet manageable gaming experience.
Sounds like a challenge for indie game developers especially, balancing innovation and accessibility.
Indeed, Christopher, it is not a stroll in the park. But challenges are what spur creativity, pushing developers to think outside the box and provide unique experiences. All of this effort stems from wanting to create a game where players feel engaged and immersed. That's the true essence of game mechanics.
Character design, a crucial facet of indie game development, an arena where developers intertwine their creativity with storytelling abilities, the fascinating journey of bringing ingenious characters to life. Think about it. This process could indeed be the cornerstone of a developer's unique creative journey, isn't it?
Quite interesting to explore this, Robert. Characters bring life to the game narratives. They are the face of the plot, allowing gamers to interact with the creative world. If shaped boldly and thoughtfully, characters can change the way a game is perceived and experienced.
And there's the importance of diversity in character design. It's about representation and inclusivity, creating characters players can resonate with, regardless of their gender, race, or culture. I mean, isn't it beautiful when a game brings everyone together?
Absolutely, Chaelin. This inclusivity and diversity can go a long way in enhancing the appeal of a game. But Chris, could you shed some light on how different characters with varying personalities can influence gameplay and engagement?
Certainly. Characters are conduits obtaining players' emotional responses. Their behaviors can deeply engage the audience. Being unpredictable, driven by their unique traits, or having impactful dialogues are some ways of enhancing their presence. Imagine a character with a profound backstory. The curiosity around it draws players deeper into the game.
I wonder, has there been a situation where user feedback is focused on character design, significantly altering the development course?
That's a pertinent question, Chaelin. We see cases where initial character designs face user backlash or spark a debate on social media. However, smart developers know how to receive feedback constructively, refining character design to resonate better with their audience. Designing a character is a fusion of creativity and user experience. This statement surfaced through an anonymous interview I had with a seasoned indie game developer, and it continues to resonate with me. Characters are the mirrors to the creator's mind, presenting the players with cues to decipher the gameplay intricacies and narratives. Can we explore this idea?
Could you elaborate more on that, Robert? How does this fusion occur?
Certainly, Chaelin. When designing characters, indie developers tap into their creative domain, coming up with a character's visuals, giving them distinct traits and aligning them to the game's theme and story. This is where their imagination shines.
But doesn't the player's perspective also play a role? Can the character design be influenced by prevailing user preferences or feedback?
Absolutely, Christopher. User feedback, especially in alpha or beta testing stages, can prove to be a goldmine for enhancing character design. Based on player interaction and response, developers may fine-tune the character traits, modify their visual appearance, or entirely reinvent a character. In essence, it's a dance between the developer's creative intent and the player's preference.
That makes sense. It's like an ongoing conversation between the developer and the players. The players are directly contributing to the creative process.
Right. And from what I observed, indie game developers take pride in ensuring this dialogue is vibrant and responsive, resulting in characters that are alive, relatable, and deeply involved in the game world. This careful balance of creative freedom and player inclination makes the character design process in indie games unique and engaging, leaving memorable imprints on the players.
Color theory and game design. An interesting relationship, isn't it?
Very much so. It's often overlooked by many players, but acts as a powerful tool in the hands of developers.
Take, for example, the carefully chosen colors in a game's environment. A deep green forest may bring players a sense of calm and peace, while a vivid red sunset can evoke feelings of suspense and anticipation. Stay too long in a dark, blue-toned environment, and it might make you feel a sense of sadness or anxiety. So, a game's color palette can greatly influence a player's emotional response.
That's incredible to consider. How does that selection process work, and how do developers ensure they're triggering the right emotions?
I imagine it starts with understanding the psychology of colors and how different shades invoke different emotions. From there, colors are selected that best represent the game's mood, themes and narrative. It's a rather fascinating blend of psychology, art and technology. Beyond color, it's also essential to consider the role sound plays in enhancing the game experience. Think about it, the tense jingles when an enemy approaches, the triumphant music after overcoming a boss, or the soft ambient soundscapes in peaceful moments. They all serve a purpose, don't they?
Of course. I think we've all had moments when the effect of a sudden or unexpected sound within a game has left us startled. So, sound and music are just as influential as color in game design.
Are these sounds and music pieces usually crafted from scratch?
In many indie games, yes. Custom sound designs and soundtracks add a unique touch to the game, making the experience more personalized and immersive. Every beep, bop, and tune is designed to guide the gamer's emotions and reactions at specific moments, just like a well-chosen color palette. I guess the takeaway here is, games, much like films or paintings, are a complex blend of visuals and auditory elements, all aimed at evoking emotions and enriching the user experience. The next time we lay our hands on a game, we should perhaps spend a moment to appreciate these subtleties, shouldn't we?
Atmospheric sounds and silence. Two sides of the same coin, indeed, in a well-designed game. Especially in horror games, the sounds of dripping water, creaking doors, faint whispers, they can all build incredible tension. However, the absence of sound, the pure silence, that's where the real fear can come into play. Ain't it interesting how the lack of something can create as much emotion as its presence?
I've never thought of it that way, but you're right, Christopher. Utilizing silence is like giving a blank canvas to the player's imagination. But surely crafting unique atmospheric sounds must be a challenge, right?
Designing sound and, even more so, curating silence is an art in and of itself. Every note, or the lack thereof, is there for a reason. It could hint at an unseen enemy, indicate safety, or guide players towards or away from specific areas. Speaking of guidance, a memorable game soundtrack can really draw players into the world of the game.
And I think that's especially true in indie games, because they often have unique soundtracks. But Chris, how does a game's soundtrack contribute to its identity?
Well, Chaelin, a game's soundtrack, like its visual design, is a part of its signature. It generates an emotional backdrop, sets the pace, and can even serve as an audible reminder of the game long after the player has stopped playing. Whether it's a catchy jingle or haunting melody, music gives a game its unique flavor, its soul.
Could we perhaps discuss less is more, a mantra often embraced by indie game designers?
Sure, less is more challenges the paradigm of creating grandiose game worlds teeming with intricate details. Sometimes, simplicity can furnish a much richer player experience.
I'm well aligned with that view, Chaelin. Indie games that focus on delivering a concise, well-developed narrative often engage users more than those with convoluted graphics and mechanics. Reflecting that simplicity in character design, game mechanics, even in sound and game music, boosts the creativity of the developers and allows the gameplay to shine.
That's true, Christopher. But isn't there a caveat to that? While simplicity can be key, too much simplicity could lead to monotony, right?
A balance is certainly needed, Robert. Simplicity should not equate to minimalism necessarily, but rather to focus. It's about emphasizing elements that truly impact the gameplay and improve user engagement. Ultimately, fun should be the priority in game design.
Well said, Chaelin. As for managing criticism and negative user feedback, it's an important component in the growth of any game developer. Instead of seeing it as an obstacle, view it as an opportunity for growth and improvement. It's essential to remember that feedback, even if negative, is still an indication of interest in your game. As designers, our art thrives on that interest. You know, fine-tuning game difficulty levels can be a real make-or-break aspect for games. It's not just about making it challenging, but creating a balance. Too difficult, and players get frustrated. Too easy, and the game becomes dull. What kind of balance do you guys think is ideal?
That's quite subjective to each gamer's preference. But perhaps the challenge isn't in the difficulty per se, but in its progression. The game should start easy, gradually challenging the player's abilities, but also providing them enough resources to learn, adapt, and overcome obstacles.
I agree, Robert. It's not just about throwing the player into deep waters, but offering them a ladder to climb up. Also, it's crucial to have different difficulty settings, giving players the autonomy to select how they wish to play.
Absolutely, Chaelin. And about crafting satisfying game endings, it's crucial that they carry a sense of payoff for the player's investment, right?
Definitely, Christopher. It should feel like the culmination of their journey. However, the ending mustn't necessarily be a triumphant victory. Even subtle, thoughtful conclusions can leave a lasting impact on the players.
Yes, and sometimes leaving the ending open for interpretation adds an additional depth to the narrative, causing the game to linger in the player's thoughts long after it's over. It's all about how effectively the story is told and concluded.
True, Chaelin. When it comes to avoiding pitfalls, I think it primarily boils down to a clear understanding of your target audience and their preferences, and including elements that cater to those preferences in your game design. While creating an innovative and immersive experience is crucial, understanding the player's perspective is just as important for the success of the game.
Nice perspective, Christopher. And I believe maintaining a strong focus on gameplay over pixel-perfect designs is essential too. Would you agree?
Oh, totally, Robert. The gameplay is what essentially keeps the players hooked. The art and design are significant, but without robust gameplay, it's akin to a beautifully designed car with a faulty engine. Doesn't matter how good it looks, it won't go far. So let's consider user feedback as a cornerstone of game design. There's an interesting case study I recently came across which deserves mentioning here.
Oh, I'm curious. Do tell.
Well, it's about the indie game Walk in the Dark. The original version of it was set in a post-apocalyptic world with a complex crafting system. However, it wasn't making a splash in the gaming community initially.
So it was underperforming? How did they turn the tide?
Innovation stood in the face of adversity. The developers began utilizing the power of social media and online gaming forums, reaching out to their existing players, and asked for feedback. They took complaints, suggestions, even areas of praise, and started to recalibrate.
So they brainstormed based on user feedback?
Absolutely, Robert. They collected all the suggestions from game mechanics to character designs, then reintroduced the game. But this time it resonated with the audience significantly. It's just one testament to the unignorable power of user feedback and how it can be a perfect compass for game design.
And how did the developers manage this feedback? It must have been an avalanche of opinions, right?
Indeed, Christopher. But they took it in stride, creating a feedback catalogue, assigning priority and addressing each accordingly. The key was selective incorporation. they didn't let feedback diminish their core vision, but rather, it refined it. Feedback is absolutely vital, but it's the developer's discernment in utilizing it that brings the best outcomes.
Let's peel away another layer, guys. How does a game go from being a nugget of an idea to polished product, alpha and beta testing, and of course, user feedback?
That's like sending in the troops to check the field before the main war, right?
You've got it, Christopher. Alpha testing's the first phase, giving the developer a feel of the game and identifying primary bugs.
And beta testing follows, being more user-centered. That's the key opportunity to gather some early feedback, correct?
Spot on, Chaelin. Beta testing typically involves a larger group of players from your target audience. They often bring different perspectives and ways of playing the game, highlighting problems that the developers may have missed. Collecting this vital feedback leads to changes that might tweak gameplay, or even fundamentally impact the game design.
That sounds like a hectic process, sorting through piles of user opinions trying to figure out what's genuinely constructive feedback and what's just noise.
Sure thing. But that's where community engagement comes in. By involving players early on with closed beta tests, and even revealing some behind-scenes progression, you cultivate a community that feels invested in the game. They're more likely to give thoughtful and comprehensive feedback. These initial players become crucial allies, shaping the game, its post-launch updates, and even expansions.
That's an interesting point, Robert. The community's involvement goes beyond just the testing phase.
Indeed. Understanding player behavior and commentaries after launch lets developers steer the game's future. Patches, updates, expansions, they're often in direct response to community feedback. It's this loop that keeps indie games alive and growing.
So far, we've seen how indie game development is a complex orchestration of multiple aspects. Even with excellent mechanics and character design, let's not ignore the ultimate make or break of a game. The gameplay.
That's noteworthy. It's captivating the players through intricate gameplay that truly determine a game's success. But Christopher, would you say there's a direct link between gameplay and user engagement?
Absolutely, Robert. Think of gameplay as the heart of a game. It's what keeps the player actively engaged, constantly driven to conquer levels, puzzle out quests, achieve goals. There's a certain thrill in accomplishing tasks, taking up challenges, and even failing them. And that's where replayability comes in.
Replayability? Would you say it's akin to rereading a favorite book, finding new layers and perspectives with every read?
Precisely, Chaelin. Replayability in games means how enticing the gameplay is to invite players back after completion. The replay factor could be triggered by complex narratives, engaging mechanics, or even unique endings. Games that provide alternate endings based on player choices are great examples.
And there's the tech perspective too, right? How the underlying code caters to a balance between gameplay and narrative delivery.
No doubt, Robert. The backbone of any video game is a well-structured, performance-optimized code. It dictates how smooth gameplay is, how gracefully the narrative unfolds, down to reaction times and character movements. A well-optimized code can make or break the overall user experience.
So it boils down to the essence that every cog in the wheel holds its significance. At the same time, it's the symphony they create together that truly shapes an indie game's journey. It's been a riveting journey, hasn't it, guys?
Absolutely, Chaelin. We've delved into intricacies of game mechanics, touched upon the art of character design, and even unfolded the silent yet significant role of color, sound, and music in game design.
Indeed. All elements harmoniously coming together, painting a compelling picture of indie game development. User feedback, we've uncovered, is a glistening goldmine for refining game designs and making gameplay even more engaging.
And what I found enthralling is the unique creative liberties indie game designers wield, and how this individuality is reflected in their games. It just goes to show the value of thinking outside the box.
Chaelin. It's that creative approach born from passion and persistence that shapes a revolutionizing game design. Just like our look today into the heart of indie game design and the balancing act between innovative concepts and tried and true game mechanics.
Speaking of balance, let's not forget the equilibrium between real-world sensibilities and imaginative concepts in creating the game characters. Truly, the art of indie game development is a dance between the senses and the spirit.
Very well put, Christopher. But as we peel back the layers, we realize the effort isn't just artistic, but technical as well. Right from the game mechanics to the sound effects, from the character design to the final debugging, every process demands close attention, intuition, and quite a bit of trial and error.
Sounds like a lot of hard work.
Well, it is, Chaelin. But the end product is a breathtaking, immersive world that people willingly lose themselves into. It's like a piece of their soul that leaves an echo in every player's heart. And for that, isn't it worth it?